And now, a bonus segment of the Big John and Ramblin' Ray Show.
The story of the day revolving around China's retaliating. They announced this while we were sleeping last night on 128 U.S. products beginning today. They had tipped their hand a week ago, but today it goes into effect. $3 billion in U.S. exports to China. Retaliatory tariffs on 128 products. We're trying to hook up with our friend Stephen Moore from the Heritage Foundation to clarify what this exactly means. Now, it could all go away by the end of this week, too. So, you know, this could be a threat. They could follow through. They could be in effect for a day or two, and then China will lift these tariffs. I don't know. American food and nuts, pork, recycled aluminum, among some of the larger groups. We shipped more than a billion of pork products to China last year. That impacts Illinois specifically. The U.S. was China's top supplier of apples, cherries, walnuts, and almonds. That affects a lot of us too. Let's go to Stephen Moore. He's a contributor to the Wall Street Journal and the chief economist at the Heritage Foundation for analysis. Well, this was not unexpected, but how bad will it be for our pocketbooks, Stephen?
Well, John, good morning. By the way, I have this article on the salt trade issue. I think it's in the Chicago Tribune this morning or tomorrow morning. And I'm making the point, and I want to run this by you and see what you guys think, that, you know, Trump is still winning this trade war. I don't know if war is the right word to use, but if you look at what happened last week, you know, Trump was threatening these steel tariffs, and then he was also threatening an across-the-board tariff with China. And last week, now I didn't hear the news today yet, but last week China seemed to have blinked. They said, look, we will open up our markets to U.S. products. We will stop using non-tariff trade barriers to keep out American goods and services like pork and soybeans and blue jeans and bourbon. And the Koreans did the same thing. They said, look, we will stop stealing their technologies and so on. So it appears to me that the Trump trade doctrine of using the threat of tariffs leverage to get these countries to behave looks like that's working.
Why do you think it is people just react so negatively here in our own country, I suppose, primarily Democrats and those left of center, to just the rhetoric from our president as opposed to seeing what happens?
Well, because there's a huge contingent of Americans, especially in the media, who just anything that Trump does. But I would make the point to you, John, that I'm a free trade guy. You've known me for a long time. Larry Kudlow and I and our author are Friedman, Adam Smith, disciples. But when you've got, you know, here's a point. I think I made this point on your show a couple of weeks ago, but I will repeat it for some of my conservative friends. Can you have free trade if one of the countries is cheating and stealing? I mean, we know from this latest government report that China's stealing about $300 billion a year. $300 billion of intellectual property, whether that's our drugs, our vaccines, our computer software, our music, our entertainment. So much of what we produce today is technology and intellectual property. If they're stealing it and not paying for it, it raises the cost to Americans. And so that's a question I think free traders have to ask, is whether we can really have genuine free trade with China when they're playing a different game than we are.
You talk about all the theft that goes on of mostly technology, and we know that's been going on for some time. Why do you suppose it takes, you know, and I know that people, you know, the never Trumpers are never going to be on board with them, but it takes a certain amount of cojones to get up and say, all right, this stuff's got to stop.
Exactly. I mean, you couldn't have said it better. And I think that's exactly what Trump is on. I think that's why. Look, I traveled with Donald Trump during the campaign to those Midwestern states, you know, including Illinois, but mostly we have Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, you know, Iowa, Wisconsin. And I got to tell you, you know, people in those states, especially those blue-collar, you know, industrial workers, felt a great deal of resentment about how trade is affecting their jobs, their salaries, and the idea of factories removing a lot of these towns. And so Trump came in with a new message, which says, look, there will be a new sheriff in town. I'm going to make sure that these countries are playing better rules. And frankly, I kind of applaud that. I think that it's about time we use some of these levers. And we could have done well. What's taking us so long? I mean, we've known for 20 years that China is stealing for us. And no president, not Bush, not Clinton, has done anything, not Obama, has done anything about it. Now we've got Trump who's standing up to these bullies you know what? I think in the end we're going to flinch, because these countries like China, like Russia, like Korea, and even these European countries, they need access to the American, you know, $10 trillion consumer market, and they need us more than we need them. So we'll see how this plays out. I mean, it's a high-stakes game of poker, guys, and I'm not denying that this could, you know, end badly. You know, if you get a trade war, that will hurt all these countries, including the United States.
Stephen Morris here. He's a contributor to the Wall Street Journal, also the Chicago Tribune. Your article's in today with a beautiful picture, by the way. You got the top billing on the perspective page.
It's in today.
Yeah, yeah. It's in today.
Well, I know, John, the city is probably blue morning, but, you know, what Loyola did was one of the great sports stories of this year. I am so proud of that team. I used to drive, KPL right by Loyola. I saw the banner, 1963 NCAA basketball championship. But I think it is so cool that Loyola did. They restored faith in real amateur basketball, you know, not these, you know, Stanford athletes that these, you know.
The pro teams that they play. They play the pro team on Saturday. There's no doubt about it. I like that kid from Algonquin. I think he's a terrific player.
Coach. I mean, I got to tell you, I've been watching these three. People are just so enamored with the story and Kissinger Gene, and the whole thing was so cool, and Chicago has a lot to be proud of in that team.
Larry, in our remaining moments,
my name is Larry.
Larry.
Oh, Steve.
Hey, I was going to ask you about Stephen Moore. Stephen Moore, I see that our friend Larry Kudlow meets with the president today. Does he also have to take part in the Easter egg hunt now that he's at the White House? I don't picture Larry Kudlow doing very well at the Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, I mean, this morning, guys, the Easter egg roll is this morning on the White House lawn. I did not get my invitation, but as you guys know, Larry Kudlow is my best friend in the whole world. I know he's going to be able to be on your show every week, because I know that his life has changed a lot.
I didn't want to impose upon him. I told him, I said, when there's news, we'd like to be able to call on you, but we don't want to hold you to that Thursday morning Thursday morning fixed position, because I think that's somewhat, I think it would be presumptuous on our part. He left us.
There's nobody better than Larry Kudlow, the economic advisor. You know, he and I worked together on the campaign side by side. I think Trump is going to be so well served, and you know, we'll finally have a guy who believes in free market, you know, economics, you know, at the helm of the economy. I've known him for 30 years. It's going to be great. And even on the stuff that we're talking about, like trade. You know, Larry's a free trader. He's going to try to make sure temper some of Trump's complexionist leanings, but do it in a way that leverages that kind of power that America has. So, I was joking with him yesterday. I had dinner with him for Easter, and I just said, you know, Larry, you know, you'll probably last about 6 to 9 months, and then Trump is going to fire you. That's the average tenure for a Trump cabinet member, but it's really cool. I'm excited, you can tell.
It's a good move for him, I think. Any way you cut it, you know, he certainly has a lot of options after he leaves the White House, too. Well, have a terrific day, and again, we congratulate Loyola, as you do, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, have a great week.
Take care.
Don't forget, here in Chicago, anyway, you were also celebrating an NC2A Women's Championship for the Notre Dame women. So
oh, that's right.
That's a big thing close to home here. So
yeah, that's second win.
Yeah, that was a good shot. What do you suppose, what do you get out there in the White House Easter egg roll today? What are they putting those little plastic eggs? Bond certificates? Honors?
I don't know. I just had an awful picture of Larry Kudlow in shorts.
All right, kids, here's what we're going to do. All right, kids, go get your egg. You know, when there's 50 cents in each egg, like, I want you to invest that in life. And you're watching over time. It's going to be great.
For more Big John and Ramblin' Ray, tune in to them live weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. on WLS AM 890. And you can stream them at WLSAM.com.